everybody. This is Wheelie. I'm Dead Pilar, and this is Fired Up, your source for Friday night conservative talk. And have we got a show for you tonight? We are going to talk about Comey's media leaks in Russiagate, Adam Schiff's allegations of Russiagate leak approvals, the FBI probes into the Clinton Foundation that was stymied by the DOJ. So what does all this mean? It means corruption, people. It means the deep state. It means our conspiracy theories that we were accused of being nuts about are turning out to be true. And yet, the New York Times, the mainstream media, maybe they're so deep into it. Maybe there's too emotionally attached. Nothing to see here. Move along. And then my brethren Latinos, who tend to be progressive, along with progressive African Americans and a typical progressive white suburban woman, they're all screaming, racism, how dare you sit there and criticize former President Obama? The point being is, Trump has to do everything by the book or they will burn him with the laws in hand. The odds of any of these fools being brought into or seeing justice is slim for none. So we're going to talk about Comey, Schiff, and the Clinton Foundation tonight. And with time permitting, we'll close it out with some hot takes, which is our version of the Fired Up lightning round. But before we begin, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. And with that, let me bring in my co-host, the G-Man, who sat there and said he didn't want an Indian superhero game name. I guess the G-Man is an actual superhero name, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good enough for me. And just before we start, I just want to say, I don't want to drop my mic. I'm tired of being gaslit for the last 9 years. The last 9 years, I'm sitting there going, are the Democrats just really making the stuff up as they go along with Trump? The Russia hoax and all of that? And it turns out they have been. They've been behind the whole thing. And I'm just sitting there going, okay, they keep saying no, and the media keeps saying falsely claims that Obama tried to do FISA warrants for wiretapping. And it's all coming out now. And when Trump said on day one he's going to start his retribution, this is what he meant. Not some kind of dictatorial thing. This is what he meant. Retribution on exposing all the stuff that the Democrats have been doing for 9 years.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty rough when you think about it. I was born as an American citizen, and I saw two dictators in Panama. And most immigrants will tell you what we saw for the last 9 years is typical in how authoritarian governments get created. They falsely create a lie, they turn it into a truth, and they rile up the people. And at the end of the day, it's about our education system. I truly believe if we would not be indoctrinating tomorrow's leaders, none of this would be happening because people would pause and go, holy mackerel, there are multiple investigations on the Clinton Foundation? Journalists wouldn't be so easily indoctrinated. They would challenge those leftist professors, and it wouldn't even matter because let's say the leftist professor, they had to shut up to get a good grade. They keep their critical thinking ability. They're going to be the next Edward Murrow, because I'm not going to say Woodward and Bernstein, because Woodward and Bernstein were fed. He did no investigative reporting. That's what y'all don't realize. Woodward and Bernstein really didn't do any investigative reporting. They had Deep Throat who fed them. And here's the kicker. They bought into everything about Deep Throat because they were Democrats. They didn't question it. They ran with it. It just so happened a lot of it was true. But my point is, that's how reporting is still done by the New York Times WAPO. They have sources they go to, and they don't question those sources. And what happened over the past 9 years, their sources knew they could manipulate those New York Times reporters, those WAPO reporters, those so many leftist reporters out there, there's too many to count. And then they would all run with the story. And by running with the story, the perception is, well, they're all saying it, so it must be true. Even Ben Miller who came out and said, yeah, we played these guys. We knew we could sit there and play them. And I forget, maybe it had to do with Iran. It had to do with something. Ben something came out and sat there and Ben Rhodes, that's who I think it was, and came out and said, yeah, we kind of just played them. We knew they'd believe and run with whatever we gave them.
Well, it goes back to that saying, and I'm not going to get this correctly, but if faced between a choice of continuing to believe your worldview or changing your mind, then you get busy on finding the facts to continue believing your worldview, right? And that's what happens with these reporters who say, I want to get Trump. I want to destroy Trump. Anything that the people up from up on high, meaning Obama's acolytes, say, and I'm putting the squirrely on Obama because I think it came from his White House, the reporters just ate it like red meat. But anything that went against Hillary or Obama, they're just like, well, falsely claims or without evidence, Trump said this.
Right.
And it's the same story. I think this time around they can't get away with it.
I agree. All right. And with that, let's head on into our first topic here. The main story tonight is Comey's media leaks in Russiagate. And so former FBI agent, I'm trying to get in my notes here. So first of all, let's give a hat tip to Just the News. I do research using the internet, and then I kind of use AI to help put it together. But I want to give some serious cred here to Just the News. I got 90% of this stuff because of their great reporting. Go over there, check out John Solomon and Company's work. They are what you, they are what you call actual investigative reporters. They go in there, they read all the actual documents, and then they start to break it down. They correlate it with what the media said, what the sources said, what the politicians say, and they find the contradictions. They ask the right questions. It's how reporting used to be. And for those out there, I was seen as a former reporter. I was never a reporter, but my company was a fantasy sports company. We did fantasy sports and regular sports, but to get into all these events, we were deemed news media. And we learned how to interview people. We learned how to write articles, ask the right questions. So we were a data company because everybody wanted the data. So I knew our advantage is we could mix the data with the humanist storyline to get the best. Here's your best results. This is why. Because they would ask me, gee, what's the hardest thing to do? And I said, determine heart. They can have all the skills on paper, but if they don't have heart, that's a bust waiting to happen. Your thoughts on John Solomon? You're aware who John Solomon is, right?
Not particularly, no, but I did look through this news site, and it's just, I thought it was fair and balanced, right? And I know there's a particular news outlet out there or a website that has been buying ads from a lot of YouTube content creators that presents all the news saying, okay, this is where this leans left, this leans right, or whatnot. But this is more about just finding the absolute truth, which I like.
Exactly. And with that, let's get right into it. So, newly released FBI memos detail former Director James Comey's use of media conduits, a.k.a. leaking sensitive information to shape a narrative and using individuals to go to these organization, specifically the New York Times. And this was during the Russiagate scandal, and it contributed to it didn't really contribute as much as kind of led the way to a fabricated collusion story that targeted President Trump's administration. The point here was to derail his administration. And we forget, but the first derailment that was of massive news and that began the process was Jeff Sessions sidelining himself, which made me so angry. I lost all respect. I'm glad he's out of politics. I don't care what he did before in life. Gee, that was his moment, and he crumbled by recusing himself. But regardless, despite multiple FBI investigations confirming illegal leaks within these media stories, no charges were ever filed, sparking outrage over unaccountable intelligence practices, a.k.a. or i.e. the abuse of intelligence. So these revelations parallel whistleblower claims against Adam Schiff. We're going to talk about that later, not at this point, but he did the same thing with approving similar leaks. And this is intensifying calls for scrutiny and exposing risks of potential political misuse of classified data. Some people are stating Before we move forward, though, G, right now there's a battle. Some people want to see justice. You know, it's like the statute of limitations may have run out, but there's also always odor laws. There's always ways around that. That's not a given. But some people, there's one side that says we need to pursue it. We need to continually look. Other side of journalism is stating, well, let's just clean up the intel agencies so this doesn't happen again. Where do you land?
I land on holding people accountable, because if they, you got to set an example, right? And that's always the justice system. Even if it's a small infraction of something that was broken for the first time, the judge says, okay, we're going to lay down the law on this person to set an example for the future. So I think I land on, we hold people accountable and we clean up the system. But here's the thing, cleaning up the system is just going to get corrupt again. It's just the nature of things. So I hate to be a, you know, glasses half empty type of guy, but look, maybe for the next 4 years it'll be cleaned up. J.D. Vance wins again. Maybe he'll probably keep it clean, but eventually it's going to go back to the way it is. I think that's the sad part of it.
You think that it's just doomed to repeat itself, huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So what are some of the key points in here in regards to this FBI investigation into the leaks and their outcomes? Okay. So the FBI had an investigation called Arctic Haze. It's one of many that concluded in early September 2021, no charges were going to be filed. And what it did, though, it confirmed that numerous legacy media stories, I'm not going to say every time the multiple, just The New York Times kind of like represents them all. So it confirmed that numerous legacy media stories crafting the false Russia collusion narrative contained illegally leaked classified intelligence. And the leakers were not definitely identified. Again, this was one of many probes. Other probes, Tropic Vortex, Foggy Falls, Riding Hood, Siren's Lure, Echo's Fate, and Genetic Christmas. Well, first of all, G, real quick. I got to say this. There is some ugly creativity. I mean, come on. They could have come up with some better. I mean, this is where Hollywood can come in with some better code names for these investigations.
Genetic Christmas? I don't even understand what that is.
I know. Does
that have to do something with immaculate conception? Whatever.
Riding Hood. Yeah. Sounds like a bad porn movie. So, okay, going on with that, FBI interviews with whistleblower occurred multiple times, including in August and December of 2017 and May of 2023. And then the DOJ declined prosecution, citing congressional immunity. So what they're saying is, okay, there's something there, but they have congressional immunity. I think that was a convenient cop-out. For the audience out there, congressional immunity is a constitutional protection of speech or debate clause that shields members of Congress or their staff from prosecution for actions taken during official legislative duties, leading the Justice Department to decline prosecution in this case. An easy example is when they're speaking on the floor of the Senate or the House. They can't be sued. Nothing can be done against them. So that's an easy example of how a constitutional protection speech or debate clause works. And that comes from Article 1, Section 6. And that protects members of Congress from legal action for things they say or do during official legislative activities, like when they give a speech, when they're debating or investigations. And that's to ensure they can work without fear of prosecution. So here's an example, and this is very important because this is what they're hiding behind. So an example is a senator questioning a whistleblower in a committee hearing can't be sued or prosecuted for statements made during that hearing, even if they're controversial or defamatory. I see the positive, but we always built the founding fathers built the government on the basis that these people would be honest politicians. Why? I don't know. All they had to do is look at each other back then too. What's your thoughts so far, G, on that?
Well, for guys like Adam Schiff, it goes beyond that though. I mean, if whatever they're saying on the floor is one thing, but when they go on MSDNC and they start spouting these same things, and I think I saw a clip, and I might be incorrect in my recollection, but Adam Schiff actually said, it is no question that Trump colluded with Putin. No, that wasn't questioned. Now, did he know that this was a narrative crafted by Brennan of the CIA, or, you know, Obama and, you know, through his acolytes saying this? I don't know if Adam Schiff actually knew the truth, but he did go on the media and actually say that on TV. So that's not the floor of the House of Representatives when he was a representative back then. Or, you know, obviously he's not saying it now as a senator, but I don't think it should extend to that. He was actually doing basically propaganda in order to weaken Trump. And does the Constitution actually protect him on that? Probably. I don't think it should, though. And I think there should be a ruling on that. Because if this is specific about a committee hearing, official legislative activities, which I think it might fall under, because that's a speech on TV, you know, I don't think that's right. I think you have to be honest with the American people and not lie about these things.
I agree. Okay, so in the course of all these investigations, hundreds of individuals, including top government officials, we all know James Comey, we all know Adam Schiff, a blast from the past. Remember Peter Strzok? And I can't imitate him, but remember that one image with his eyes looking all evil? He was a bad dude. He hated Trump. They were investigated for illegally leaking classified information to reporters to sabotage Trump. Out of all those investigations, even though within the department they were like, yeah, they broke the law here. All of those investigations resulted in only one single perjury indictment. A guy by the name of James A. Wolf, a former Senate Intelligence Committee security director, was indicted for making a false statement, perjury. It was to the FBI about his contacts with reporters during the Russiagate-related classified leak probe. Pleaded guilty to one count, sentenced to 2 months in prison, 4 months of supervised release, and a $7,500 fine. The DOJ's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section, and that was led by an individual named Jay Bratt for 6 years, closed at least two such investigations without charges, highlighting a double standard in handling classified information, mishandling classified information. Now, what is the double standard? That's where I had to do some extra research. Uncharged Russiagate leaks by anti-Trump officials to aggressive prosecution of Trump. So in other words, these investigations that would have hurt the progressive side, he closed them. But he was pro-aggressive in his prosecution of Trump for the classified document mishandling towards the former president at the time. And that was under the DOJ oversight. So he was going after Trump where there was no evidence, no proof, except for allegations. But with actual evidence and actual proof, he refused to go after any of these classified leaks. And that's a double standard. Bratt retired in 2025 and invoked the Fifth in a July 2025 deposition, obviously fueling speculation of potential charges to come by Bondi's DOJ. So, gee, how does Bratt's abrupt retirement right after Trump's inauguration and his pleading the Fifth, what does this mean in the overall picture? And if Bondi goes after him, is that the first domino to possibly fall?
It could be. I mean, obviously he was part of it, and that's why he pleaded the Fifth. My question is, why didn't Biden pardon him like he pardoned all these other guys beforehand, if he knew that there was some culpability in this? But again, I don't like the double standard. Obviously, he's a Democrat, and he's going to go after only Republicans. And I do remember the Clinton Global Initiative being a big thing, and all these other different things that were the Democrats are being faced with. Yeah, it's a double standard to say, no, I'm not going to investigate that. And then based on the Steele dossier, which they knew before December 9th, they knew before December 9, 2016, that was based on – was basically fake. But at best, it was just spurious information. They spread the narrative, and then they decided they're going to investigate it. I think he had marching orders from the top. I don't think he would go off and do this on his own unless he was green-lighted from the top. So
I – Oh, yes. But, gee, that's how it usually works. None of these top dogs – none of these Adam Schiff, Hillary, none of these top dogs are the politicians. They never actually do it. They rarely do it themselves. It's usually their minions. And people go, well, they didn't do it. It was their minions. Well, don't be stupid. Their minions are doing, as G said, following their orders.
Yeah. But one thing I used to always think is the deep state isn't some actually organized group of people in the federal government that work against mostly Republicans. That I just always thought it was a bunch of people who were Democrats saying, okay, I'm not going to help this administration at all.
Correct.
Now I'm changing my tune in regards to this. This actually did come from the top, and it's like, hey, get your minions to do whatever they can, and thank God for some of these whistleblowers. It took a few years to come out, but thank God that they're now finally saying, look, this is the guy above me, and I was just following orders.
Right. Well, both can be true. And for the audience, I first learned about the deep swamp back in the 90s in college when I was researching the just in time system. And obviously I went down the rabbit hole and I learned that they were having a massive problem in Japan, the prime ministers, of executing their policies that they ran on to get voted, because the swamp, the entrenched people who didn't agree with him, would just delay everything, would hold out. And that's what's meant by the deep swamp, are those type of individuals. But as G pointed out, we're starting to see this is coming from the top. So both can be true. All right. Former FBI Director James Comey used Columbia University law professor Daniel Rickman as a media conduit. This isn't new news. Those of us who kind of went down the rabbit hole, we knew this back then when it was happening. But when we brought it up, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. No, no, no. Oh, James Comey is of the highest standard. Him and Mr. Dementia now. Who's the guy who did the one investigation that looked like an idiot in Congress? Tall guy,
Ray?
FBI. No, FBI Ray? Director. No, before. Mueller. Oh. Mueller, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Comey and Mueller, they're untouchable. That's how it was back then. We thought we got two men of impeccable character in Mueller and Comey. And maybe Mueller was, but by the time he did that investigation, dementia was setting in, you know? So he became a useless fool, a buffoon, to be quite frank. And I'm sorry. Look, I know dementia. I used to work in that industry, but that's what he became. He became a minion to the swamp. And Comey kind of had that reputation, but after the email scandal, the reality of who and what he was started to come out. Regardless, he used Daniel Rickman as a media conduit. He granted him top secret clearance with sensitive compartmented information access in 2015 as a special government employee, ostensibly for going dark matters, but also, and more importantly for Comey, he wanted somebody who had the clearance he could talk to get the information to go to the press and correct some of the stories that were coming out at the time about Comey that were critical of him and the FBI, and to shape the narrative, become very anti-Trump. And when I remember bringing this up, people were telling me, no, you're wrong, William. There's no proof of that. I'm like, I can't remember who broke the story back then, but this is not new, but thank goodness it's coming back to damn Comey as it should. Rickman admitted in FBI interviews to routinely communicating with the New York Times reporter Michael Schmidt to correct stories critical of Comey, the FBI, and to shape future press coverage. He admits that. Well, that was a quote. Correct stories critical of Comey, the FBI, and to shape future press coverage, unquote, outside official channels. But as they always do, but I've never leaked anything. I'm an honest guy. I'm an Ivy League credential white man. You got to trust me. I'm a Democrat. Yeah, that's what they always say. Gee, your thoughts.
I don't know if this guy is being used as a pawn or whether his ego got the best of him and he's thinking, hey, I can be on TV a lot and talk to reporters. But I just think it's foolhardy to have someone who has secret clearance sometimes, some part of the year. They're not trained or used to being able to hold their lips and mouths shut on classified information. So the fact that Comey did this with him, one, I think he was an unwitting pawn. Or maybe he was a willing person to say, hey, do you want to get Trump? I've got the job for you. But two, Comey, this guy is all sorts of wicked. I mean, okay, so remember right before the election, I want to say it was a week before the election, he comes out with, hey, we're going to investigate Hillary for her emails. And Hillary says that's why she lost the election. I don't think that was true. I think the polling was off. But I sat there and I wondered why he would do that. And then the next day, I believe it was, he actually came out, or 2 days later, saying, oh, never mind, everything's good. I think he did that to look like he was being a fair and impartial person. I don't know what motivated him to do that the week before the election. But, I mean, now that I'm reading more about this, it's like, okay, this guy is all sorts of wicked, right? I mean, the moment Trump gets in, what is it? I think it was a week before Trump was sworn in, or the week after, but he said, yeah, we're going to investigate this Russia thing. I think he had it out for Trump.
He did an interview, and he already knew Russia was bogus. He knew from day one. And when they asked him, what about the Russia thing? I don't know. Yeah, you do. There's a special place in hell for people like throughout the annals of history, these types of people who work and live within the elite world, there's a special kind of hell because we have to live with the ramifications. And he is okay with an authoritarian government in what Obama did there at the end, as well as what Biden did. He's okay with that. And then plain dumb. See, also people, how stupid does Comey think we are? You know, I didn't know 87 meant kill someone. What you know? Dude, you're the FBI director in the military. We use the word unilaterally. Hey, go 86 that in terms of destroying us. You know, I was on a spook ship. No, that's not a racist term. A spook ship is an intelligence gathering ship, people. And we'd always have the burning. Hey, go. We got to go 86 as a material. Get the burn bags and all that. Or, damn, they just 86 that guy. It was used interchangeably. So Comey's just flat out lying. But he thinks we're so stupid, we'll believe it. And sadly, because of the education system having been taken over by progressives and people are indoctrinated, they believe it. Sorry, yes. Now, here's the thing about the going dark, giving the security clearance. That's not unheard. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. It should only happen in certain instances. But it's expanded to every Tom, Dick, and Harry getting it. But it lasts for 130 days or less with background checks. And they do it in case there's a nuclear physicist who's working at Stanford and there's a project, you know, or they need information. They bring him in, they give him that clearance, and they're able to talk to a civilian. However, Comey used it or abused it by purposely sending this guy to the New York Times to shape the narrative he wanted to shape. There are times you can excuse that in a wartime. You don't want the enemy. You want to mislead the enemy. But not like this. Not like this. All right, so Comey conveyed memorandums of meetings with President Trump to the media via Richmond after his firing. So he saved memorandums and started, which were classified, and Richmond was feeding the New York Times. And that included details of Trump's alleged comments about Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, and that's what led to Robert Mueller's appointment. Now, for those of you who don't recall, let me give you the truth about that. Trump told Comey on February 14, 2017, quote, I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He's a good guy. Now, Comey, unquote. Now, Comey lied. That was the opening. See, Trump messed up. Whether we like it or not, Trump said he hoped. So on a technicality, they can't prosecute Trump for that. But the reality is Trump shouldn't have said that. But Trump was talking one guy to another. You know, say, hey, I hope you can let him go. And Comey use that, and that's what got us the dementia-riddled Mueller investigation. And I say that meanly, sarcastically, because that Mueller report was a disgusting excuse of a final report. They tried to walk that fine line so their side could go, so you see, the Mueller report doesn't say this, or is kind of like assuming this, when the reality is there was nothing there. Had an impartial person done that report, the truth would have come out, but somebody who was clearly in the beginning symptoms, and he wasn't in the beginning symptoms, because in the beginning symptoms of dementia, Gene, you still have your faculties. You just forget a few things. When we saw him at Congress, he was already at a point where he could no longer be on his own. He needed help to get around. The way he even walked, the way he even talked, he was lost. You know, again, I worked in that industry. I've seen this. I know what I'm talking about here. So when I saw that, I was disgusted with his family for allowing him to lead that. And I knew they were going to abuse Mueller to get what they wanted into that report. So, but regardless, I'm digressing now. But it was the innocent hope language, and it wasn't an order that got Trump cleared, and they never really had anything on it. But what are your thoughts on this Comey scam? I mean, from that Trump story alone, I guess what I'm asking is, Comey, we're learning Comey's a bad dude. He's not this honorable guy we all thought.
Yeah, no, and that's normal for, I mean, I don't think anyone except the diehards would not believe that Trump was sending a hint. Like, hey, let this guy off. This is a political witch hunt. Let Flynn go. That was a hint, right? It wasn't a command. Otherwise, he would have said, look, better let him go. Otherwise, et cetera, et cetera. So I get that. Maybe Comey said, okay, this doesn't, you know, he's trying to pressure me or whatnot. But Comey is not one to be intimidated. We all know that. So to use a hope language, right, I hope you can let him go. Clearly the hint was there, but it wasn't a direct command. And so Trump had plausible deniability to say, I never commanded him. And actually, Comey actually says, okay, yeah, he misrepresented it. So, yeah, I think this guy is – that's why he was fired 4 months later, right? Or was it three months?
He's a bad dude. All right, let's not forget, Comey technically was under Loretta Lynch. You know, so his statements on the Clinton email in October were influenced over concerns about classified information. And that was related to AG Loretta Lynch's potential recusal. And he discussed that with Rickman. He was saying, hey, you know, we got this recusal, this email. He was kind of explaining how much of a mess was involved in this. But he still had his agenda. And Peter Strzok and his mistress, Lisa Page, remember, she's a mistress. I'm not going to use the word, but she was acting like a courtesan. They were involved in briefing the New York Times on the Clinton probe in 2017. And what they're doing is passing more bad juju. So Comey used them as well to get information out to the media. This is nothing but overreach. It's manipulation and it's politicization that was favoring the Clintons, paving the way for Russiagate. Real quick, what are your fondest memories, G, of the Peter Strzok and his mistress, courtesan Lisa Page?
I mean, that was so long ago. It's such a bad memory, and probably a lot of comedy. I just think the web goes on and on and on. It's just insane. I'm glad it's being uncovered. But, you know, you're just going to find people like this. And we're getting into more people after this, which is insane. But
you're right.
It starts from Comey.
Yeah, the Comey was – you're right. As G said, it goes from the top. So let's cut to the chase. The Russiagate saga isn't just ancient history. It's now exploding back into the spotlight with FBI memos proving what we've suspected all along. James Comey and his cronies weaponized leaks to fabricate a collusion hoax against Trump, using shady conduits like Daniel Rickman to twist innocent words into obstruction scandals, while at the same time shielding Clinton with biased insiders like Strzok and Page. Probes like Arctic Haze confirmed illegal classified spills to the media, but Jay Bratt's DOJ shut them down without charges. Talk about a double standard. Prosecuting Trump relentlessly while letting deep state leakers walk. Bratt retires abruptly after Trump's win, pleads a fifth. That smells like cover up. Now with Cash Patel dropping bombshell memos, Tulsi Gabbard exposing false narratives, and senators like Ron Johnson calling it grotesque corruption, demanding trials under AG Bondi, the swamp is sweating. This isn't conspiracy theory anymore, people. It's hard truths demanding justice. Will we get it? Who knows? But we feel that there should be no more unpunished overreach. It's time to drain the swamp and restore America. What do you think? Let us know. And with that, Schiff faces allegations of Russiagate leak approvals. So FBI memos reveal Democratic whistleblowers repeated warnings that Senator Adam Schiff authorized leaks of classified intel to damage Trump during the debunked Russiagate scandal. Actions deemed a betrayal of his oath to the country when he took office and yet shielded by perceived congressional protections. These disclosures emerging amid Schiff's recent Justice Department referral for potential mortgage fraud. Regardless, the allegations trigger urgent cause for investigation, whether the statute of limitations have passed or not. The whole key here is to expose deep-seated vulnerabilities in handling sensitive information for partisan gain. Some of the key points, G. A career intel officer who worked for the Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee for over a decade described himself as a friend to both Adam Schiff and Devin Nunes, began warning the FBI in August of 2016 about changes in the committee's work environment. And that intensified after Trump's election win and continued through 2023 that Schiff approved leaking classified information derogatory to Trump. That is, he's keeps pushing it even as late as 2023 because he still saw Schiff's old leaks as a serious betrayal of trust and security. Sounds like a patriot. And he wants someone to hold him accountable. And it's timed with the Durham report coming out in May of 2023. That's why he started pushing it again. And with that slam, the FBI's Russiagate handling, and that gave him a fresh chance to revisit and dig deeper to the scandal's loose ends by trying to warn them. Your thoughts on the fact it wasn't a Republican, and what does this mean for the legitimacy of what he's saying?
Yeah, I mean, for some reason in our politics, and it's a sad state of affairs, and it's on both sides. If the Democrat does something that's Republican or Republican-friendly, like JFK with the tax cuts, or a Republican basically increases taxes somehow, it's viewed as, okay, that's bipartisan, right? And so this actually does give it more credibility that he's actually going against the party that he identifies with, and it might throw some of them under the bus. I mean, Adam Schiff, will he be impeached from his office of Senate? Could be. I mean, who knows?
I don't know. That's kind of difficult. But regardless, though, the whistleblower did attend a February 13, 2017 HPSCI staff meeting, and that's where he says Schiff allegedly authorized leaks to indict Trump. Schiff believed he was protected by the Constitution's speech and debate clause that I reviewed earlier in the show. But he leaks items for example, sensitive document contents appeared in the news within 24 hours after he received them. And Representative Eric, I Love Fang Fang and Love the Past Gas on national TV, Swalwell, was involved, and they were targeting retired Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. So in layman terms, the committee that was led by Schiff allegedly zeroed in on Flynn as Trump's weak spot, and they collected secret info on him to leak it and tie Trump to Russia collusion and hacking, hoping to spark an official investigation. And their hope was to get both parties to join in. And the rhinos, who didn't like him, were okay with that. The whistleblower alleged Schiff sought to leak classified information to smear Trump, is what it boils down to, because Schiff thought he would become Hillary Clinton's CIA director, and he was angry at the fact that she lost and he wasn't going to get that gig. Your thoughts in general and on CIA director Adam Schiff? Real quick, guys, for those out there, we got our classic Grumblings coffee mug. I like the black better there, G, than my white one there. Oh my God, am I being racist? So scan it, guys, and head on over there.
Part of our I think if you say it that way, it's not racist.
No, that's right.
I mean, Adam Schiff, he's out for himself, right? I mean, he took over Kamala's spot here in California. I just think that he was playing all these games in order to win at any cost for Hillary, right? So that he gets and that actually raises the question to me as I'm saying that in mid-sentence. Hillary must have known about this. I mean, there must have been some kind of marching order to say, go ahead and do this. Let's try to deep six Trump or 86 Trump, as Comey thinks is just an innocent phrase. It makes me wonder if Hillary was also included on Adam Schiff's plans. I mean, I'm starting to think she is.
Yeah, could be. Who knows? Hillary will make a deal with anybody to move forward just a few inches. I mean, word on the street, that's how Bill's got, but that's another story. I cracked myself up. I do. All right. So
I don't think she's moved aboard at many years.
So the FBI did interview this whistleblower multiple times. Memos, and that's indicated in the memos that Kash Patel, FBI Director Kash Patel, released this past week. But the Justice Department declined prosecution, citing congressional immunity. And Michael Horowitz noted the whistleblower had little support for their contentions. Now, Horowitz, he was basing this on interviews he was doing with other people. So I don't even believe Horowitz. These investigations, I'm starting to realize, gee, they're very limited in scope in what these guys actually dig up, you know? Because all the stuff we're finding out, these investigators should have been able to find out themselves, but they never had access to this work. So I look at the fact that if what he said, if they can corroborate how true it is, we got a serious issue here. However, the alleged leaks fall outside the statute of limitations for most legal theories. Schiff is obviously denying it. He's labeling it as a smear by Kash Patel to distract from political issues like plummeting poll numbers, which Trump's numbers are the best any Republican has had at this point in time, and the Epstein file scandal. Quick digression here, because we've been covering the Epstein files. Epstein's story is collapsing. Our favorite analyst, who happens to be at CNN, Harry Enten, reported on August 11th an 89% drop in Epstein Google searches over 3 weeks, as we predicted would happen. It's no longer a top Trump linked term, with only one CNN survey respondent naming it the top issue. I think that was probably Jasmine Crockett as a guest, calling it a nothing burger. Gracious distraction claim. Real quick, G, before we go on, your thoughts on the whistleblower and the fact that Horowitz said it wasn't very good info, but that's different from the DOJ stating Schiff is protected with congressional immunity. And your quick comment on Epstein before we close this one out.
Yeah, I mean, I have a quick comment on Harry Enten, the guy at CNN. I mean, if he has more energy than Richard Simmons. I mean, if you imitate what he does, you'll lose like 5 pounds over a month. I think the Epstein thing, that was a MAGA-driven thing. And I think more and more, as Trump supporters see what's going on and what has gone on with Brennan and Comey and Schiff, I think they're disgusted. Hillary Clinton. And it's like, okay, Epstein is small potatoes. And besides, if there was anything on Trump with Epstein, that would have come out during the Biden years. So we all kind of know that. So, it doesn't surprise me that collapsed that quickly. And I think Schiff is – of course he's going to deny. What's he going to say? Oh, yeah, I did that because I wanted to destroy Trump's chance at making any effective change in the government, which in term one he did. And it was looked fondly upon in 2024 that America reelected him again.
That's true. That's true. You already said the DOJ should continue pursuit of this earlier in the show, that because there has to be justice, and I agree with that. It's like a bully. If a bully hits you, people who sit there say, well, we need to stand higher ground. Well, that bully's going to keep hitting you until you hit him back.
Right.
And once you hit him back, then they'll stop. And I agree with G using that analogy. We need to find something here, if there is something to find. So, in other words, we need to keep digging. So, real quick, though, G, I think where they're going to get him on is the potential mortgage fraud, because he stands to go to prison for a maximum of 30 years and $1 million fine per count. And the DOJ is where that would fall under. And Ed Martin, who Democrats loathe, is the individual overseeing that case. Your thoughts on the panelists before we close this segment out?
Yeah, I mean, we got Al Capone on tax evasion, right? Not on all the murders and theft and bootlegging and all that. We got him on what we could get him on. And this is basically what Adam Schiff is going to face. If he's guilty of this, then yes, he should go to prison. And that will open up a Senate seat for another crazy Democrat to take it.
Yeah.
So I'm all for that, as long as he actually did something that's crime worthy. I mean, if he did a simple clerical mistake, then, you know, let's not.
No. You punch him back. And there is no clerical mistake. I've read the research on that. He purposely did that to save money. All right. So this bombshell on Adam Schiff with FBI memos from a Democratic whistleblower, a longtime insider and friend to Schiff himself, exposes alleged authorizations of classified leaks to smear Trump during Russiagate. There's no doubt about that in my mind, at least. This is a betrayal of oath, unethical, illegal, even treasonous in spirit, because it's not treasonous from a legal perspective, but in all the while hiding behind congressional shields. Adam Schiff is, that is. So from that 2017 staff meeting, greenlighting leaks on Flynn to tie Trump to Russia collusion, aiming for a 9/11 style inquiry, which is kind of what happened, to suspicions on Fang Fang's girl. I kind of just wrote that in myself. Eric style. But the point is,
he was benching that 135 pretty well. So.
Yeah. You know why? He's probably passing gas. He's benching it a little extra oof. Yeah. For y'all that don't know, Eric Swalwell, Breakwind Swalwell, passed gas on national TV, and one of his volunteers who he may or may not have had a relationship, Fang Fang, was a Chinese spy. But regardless, weaponized DOJ shut it down, citing immunity in terms of the investigations against these classified leaks and stating weak support, and now statutes have expired. Schiff may deny it as a Patel smear, blaming distractions like the collapsing Epstein story. Yet with White House calling it a bombshell, U.S. Senator Marshall demanding probes, Patel promising accountability, and Schiff's mortgage fraud referral risking up to 30 years, plus the Steele dossier pushes laptop lies and Biden pardon scrutinies intensifying. This isn't a conspiracy theory. Once again, it's truth emerging. It's time for justice. No more unchecked power plays. What say you, people? Let us know. All right, G, let's go to our final topic before we go over too much on the show here. And that is the Clinton Foundation probe. So declassified FBI memos and timelines show that persistent political obstruction from Obama-era DOJ officials in investigations into potential pay-to-play corruption at the Clinton Foundation during Hillary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State. Career agents in multiple field offices face shutdown orders and restrictions. That is, there were different investigations, non-related to one another, popping up, and they were all shut down. And these revelations heighten concerns over selective enforcement and expose how high-level directives halted scrutiny of an influential figure in Hillary Clinton amid the 2016 election cycle. Now, these investigations, G, began in 2015 before the 2016 election cycle, and it focused on pay-to-play schemes where foreign governments offered contributions for favorable treatment during Hillary Clinton's time as Secretary of State. And this stuff did make the news, but we were accused of being conspiracy theorists. A lot of this stuff came from Peter Schweizer's book, Clinton Cash. And in the fall, an unnamed investigator discussed with DOJ's public integrity section and an assistant U.S. attorney intending to predicate an investigation. In other words, they were talking, we got to investigate this. You know, now, the investigations, G, were at the New York field offices in January 2016, Little Rock field office, and later in a week or two later in 2016, the Washington field office in January, at the very end of January 2016, and the Los Angeles field office in 2016 as well. They all opened preliminary investigations. Real quick, G, your thoughts on all of those? Where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm like, do you get that many investigations? There's something burning there.
Perhaps, or maybe you can look at it another way. Maybe they're opened, designed to be closed, decided there's nothing to see here in time for the election, right? So it's not an election issue. Remember, at the time, Trump was ahead in the polls, and they're thinking, oh, this is going to be an easy win. So let's get this Clinton Global Initiative CGI thing out of the way, and let's have an easy path to victory. I'm more inclined to think that way because, remember, a lot of these people in the FBI, a lot of them are Democrats.
True. But there's a lot of field – see, this is where I push back. There are good agents. There are good field agents. And the reason I'm pushing back is because they were moving forward until FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, who hates Trump. He's another guy who's going to go, damn, why is it so warm here when he meets his maker? You know, he sat there and said, there will be nothing done to move forward without my explicit permission. So he purposely stopped it. Sally Yates also stopped it. You know, McCabe was the FBI. Sally Yates was then Deputy Attorney General. So she was in charge of DOJ, the second in command. And she explicitly told the staff in that district, DC, I want to say, oh, I'm sorry, the District of Arkansas, to cease further investigations. And then the Southern District of New York stated there was no support for the investigation, and they stopped it. And it just went over straight on down. So I think this came from top. I think honest agents saw this, started to open it, and they immediately shut it down from on top, as you said earlier. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, then if that's the case, yeah, I think maybe they were on – I mean, I do believe there are honest agents in the FBI. Maybe they're the ones who initiated this. And, of course, then there's going to be panic at the top. Now, what's interesting is, like, what you brought up, all these investigations, or at least three of them, came up within a week of each other. So there must have been some discussion going on. Okay, so one within a week of each other, and then another one within 2 days. So, yeah, I think that there was panic at the top. Maybe they're saying this is not a good idea going into the election season. So
right.
Maybe there's some FBI agents who don't like Hillary Clinton, and maybe that's what it was.
I agree. I mean, they're probably both sides are in the minority, though. I would say that. But yeah. Christopher Wray testified in August 2022 that the Clinton Foundation investigations were closed in 2021, noting they were declined for prosecution, but never stating why. And then there's also AG Loretta Lynch, but per some reports, may have exerted overall pressure on the FBI to end the Clinton Foundation. Your thoughts on those two individuals?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were total Hillary Clinton acolytes, and I think that's exactly what happened. I mean,
you think this was a coordinated fix, a clear abuse of power with no fear of backlash or repercussions from the top?
No, I mean,
they could do anything they want without any repercussions, so they shut it down.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. Trump gets into office, right? And then they're still operating in such a manner, right? Especially Comey, that, okay, we can do whatever, and the guy's in office and he can't do anything to us. Well, he did fire Comey, but there was a brazen sense of when you're too bold, right? And you just have foolhardiness, right? But I think at the time, I mean, think of most Republicans. Even Paul Ryan came out in October of 2016 saying it's time for Trump to set aside, and we all just kind of assumed Hillary's going to become president, especially after the Billy Bush tape. But even in January, I don't think Trump had sewed up the nomination at that point in January, February, but it looked like he was going to. And I wasn't confident Trump was going to win. I thought Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz had a way better shot, and Trump would just lead us into a third term of Obama. He would be white and female.
I
think you're right. They were very brazen, and they thought they could get away with it.
I agree. And it's coming out now, but the statute of limitations is typically 5 years for federal obstruction. So they're all going to get away with it. And by shutting this down, one of the go-tos for Democrats, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? I know my partner, Big John's always, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Well, when investigations get shut down or information gets classified and hidden for 5 years, there's never any evidence to be found, you know? So that really hurts us out. Final comments on this, G, before we close this segment and the show out.
I thought you were going to ask a question. Sorry. Here's the thing. If you think of the Clinton Global Initiative, right, what happened right after she lost the election? The donations dried up. So if people thought that this was going for something good, like a nonprofit donation type of thing, they realized it wasn't, right?
Ask the Haitians.
Exactly. They knew it wasn't going for that. They were looking for power and influence, right? So they're giving to that. And when Hillary has none to give, it's like, well, why am I giving? It wasn't going to the Haitians.
Yeah, well, real quick, I think it was like, I'm trying to remember from way back then, but like after she lost elections, donations dropped by like 75, 80, 90%.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. People donated to get political favors in return. That's all it was, right? And I'm surprised that 10% still continued giving, or maybe maybe they all continued giving, but 10% as much. So yeah. I just know everyone knew it was a scam, and it's for them to say, oh, nothing to see here, let's just move on. I mean, those people in charge were a scam too.
I agree. So, revelations of shutdown orders and restrictions underscore unaddressed disparities in investigative rigor, demanding renewed oversight to prevent future obstructions in high-stakes probes. So, in essence, what they're saying is we got to review this to make sure this doesn't happen again. But regardless, there are now declassified timelines surfacing. And transparency, or the cost for transparency, is also intensifying, and that's building towards potential reforms in the DOJ and FBI. Will we see it? I'm with G. We may early on, but it'll eventually go away as people usurp power. But regardless, the Clinton Foundation scandal screams deep state cover-up. The FBI probes into pay-to-play corruption kickstarted in 2015 with Clinton cash allegations of foreign cash for State Department favors that opened across four field offices in 2016, only to be systematically shut down by Obama DOJ brass like Sally Yates ordering, quote, shut it down, unquote, and Andrew McKay blocking steps with no explanation given. All the while, Trump-Russia hoaxes get full throttle. That's what they're focusing all their time and money on. The Clinton Foundation investigations were starved because nothing came about, because nobody was allowed to find information and no evidence was gathered. Just the, quote, stand down, unquote, directives as Loretta Lynch tarmac chatted with Bill Clinton. And I believe she was not filling him on the email scandal, but the Clinton Foundation scandals. Peter Stroke prioritized anti-Trump witch hunts over Clinton emails, and Christopher Wray quietly closed it all in 2021. But now, Patel's declassifying memos, Durham exposing flow of benefit schemes. So what that means, these memos are showing us what was happening. And Chuck Grassley and Rick Crawford, both U.S. senators, are demanding untapped emails and sealed annexes. There's little disk. There's little plugins full of what do they call those? G little you put them in your computer.
USB thumb drives.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Duh. There's that's what they're asking to see now, because they do have those. So while we likely won't get prosecutions, but can the GOP turn this into a midterm goal? The message being, quote, this ain't insufficient evidence, unquote. The point being to show the sabotage against the American people and use that as a weapon to get Republicans elected to clean house. So let's hope we can prosecute some of these fixers. Let's hope we can drain the swamp, and we must never stop demanding justices. Let us know your thoughts. And gee, before we go here, here is ¿Quién es más macho? Trump es más macho.
You got to translate that, because I'm not Spanish.
Who's more macho? Trump's more macho. I mean, Trump, unlike the Chicago mayor who says Trump fears black men's strength, you know, I'm like, you got nothing if that's what you're saying about your city and defending it, the fact that it's crime-ridden and more black Americans are dying there every week than any other city in America is beyond reproach to say something like that. But yeah, Trump's pretty much what you call an alpha male. And with that, my friends, we're going to close the show out. Look for a hot takes clip later this week where we're going to be discussing some topics. But before I go, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. Follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, y Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. For myself and the G-Man, I am William Del Pilar. This has been Fired Up, your source for conservative talk. And until next week, stay safe, my friends. Stay safe.